Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Taiwan Mobile Conference Call. Our chairperson today is Mr. Cliff Lai and Ms. Vivian Xu. Vivian, please begin call, and I'll be standing by for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our second quarter conference call. Before I start our presentation on the second quarter results, I would like to direct your attention to our disclaimer page, which states, "The information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein, nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, markets, or developments referred to in this presentation." Now, let's turn to the first page, business overview. In the next three slides, I would like to highlight our growth areas. First, on wireless data. In the second quarter, despite regulatory interventions, which dragged down our voice revenue by 5% YOY, we still managed to increase mobile service revenue by 2% on the back of 48% YOY growth in the wireless data revenue. In terms of data revenue growth, and the data revenue as a percentage of mobile service revenue, Taiwan Mobile continued to lead the pack in the same quarter. Please turn to the next page. For our smartphone strategy, apart from the 8 smart device models we have introduced in the second quarter, we currently have close to 30 smartphone and tablet models on the market. Smartphone users' ARPU remain at more than 2 times that of postpaid, while their payback periods are very similar. In the second quarter, smartphone sales volume doubled from a year ago and accounted for 52% of total handsets sold. As of the end of first quarter, smartphone penetration reached 15% in line with our target. Please turn to the next page. As indicated in the table, our internet subscriber number increased of 15% and DTV customer number growth of 107% YOY are all higher than 2% subscriber rise in analog TV services in the same quarter. These has contributed to a 2% YOY increase in blended ARPU for HPG. Given that only 26% of our customers are using our internet services and 6% of our customers have subscribed to DTV services, we expect further expansions in internet and DTV service take-up. It is worth mentioning that cable internet ARPU was up 3% from a year ago, with 70% of our newly acquired customers subscribing to 10 megabits or above services in the second quarter, up from 50% a year ago. Please turn to the next page. This page of new products and services we launched during the second quarter is for your reference. I will turn the mic to Vivian on our financial results.
Please turn to page 9, the result summary of financial overview. Our second quarter operating revenue rose 3% year over year, underpinned by mobile data revenue growth. That said, the second quarter EBITDA still reported a decline due to increased handset subsidies. With lower non-operating expenses, second quarter EPS grew to $1.16, up 3% YOY. The first half consolidated revenue and EBITDA surpassed our guidance, mainly attributable to better than expected wireless data revenue. Separately, first quarter non-operating expenses also came into less than guidance because of lower than expected asset write-off and interest expenses. As such, our net profit achieved 52% of full-year guidance. Please look into the second page, our operating performance by business group. For the quarter, due to improved mobile service revenue coupled with less smartphone subsidies, CBG's EBITDA rose 5% QOQ and YOY declined narrowly, benefiting from a higher blended ARPU as a result of a rising broadband subscriber base. HBG's second quarter profit had a 10% YOY growth, and its EBITDA margin was up 2.7% from a year ago. EBG's second quarter EBITDA increased both QOQ and YOY, driven by a rise in enterprise mobile revenue and cost management. The YOY rises in the EBITDAs of EBG and HBG, coupled with a reduction in CBG's EBITDA decline, mitigated the company EBITDA decrease in second quarter. Let me turn this to Rosie for balance sheet and cash flow analysis.
Okay, let's turn to the balance sheet analysis. On our asset side, cash balance continued rising along with steady operating cash inflows. Other current liabilities increased quarter on quarter in second quarter, which was a reflection of the $12.4 billion cash dividend payment made on July 21st. Gross debt balance fell to $9.03 billion due to continuous year-to-date debt repayment. As a result, we turned into a net cash position as of the end of the second quarter. In third quarter, we expect to be back to a net debt position in the wake of the dividend payment. Now let's turn to cash flow statement. The second quarter operating cash inflow remained at a comparable level to a quarter ago. On the investing activity front, CapEx for the quarter was similar to previous levels, accounting for 8% of total revenue in the second quarter. Cash outflows of $99 million was injected into our 49.9% owned subsidiary, Taipei New Horizons. The $330 million debt repayment was the main cash outflow for financing activities during the quarter. Total free cash flow for the first half was $9.09 billion, translating into an annualized yield of 6.1%. On July 28th, the board approved an additional capital for 2011 to purchase real estate for IBC purposes and the expansion of the fixed network. The group's CapEx budget will be raised by $0.9 billion to around $7.3 billion. Let me turn this back over to Vivian for event update and key message.
On our event update, the board approved the capital reduction schedule this morning. The record date is September 26th. Which means the shareholders on September 26th are entitled to receive the capital return on October 13th. On the Momo acquisition, we have completed the transaction and consolidated Momo's financials since July 13th. The regulatory update and the awards we received stated in the next slide are for your reference. Please turn to the page of key message. To wrap up our presentation, this last slide summarized the key message that we would like to deliver. I think that's all we would like to say for this first half of our financials. Now we turn to the open to the floor for questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now open for questions. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Our first question comes from Trade Manager of Credit Suisse Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you very much for the call. I have in total five questions. Number one, I have noticed that your subscriber growth momentum is picking up very nicely. Is this because of your prepaid effort or particular certain exclusive things that is driving the subscriber growth momentum? Second question, we have also seen some improvement in the fixed line and cable EBITDA margin. What drives this? Is it just the revenue scale or some certain things on the cost side? Number three, how are you planning to get more into your business plan right now? Has there been some business synergies occurring between the mobile business, some business opportunity that you're exploring with Momo? Number four, regarding Momo, is there any capex from the Momo side that would be significant or already included in your revised capex budget? And lastly, your mobile capex looks relatively low still relative to peers. In the wake of higher than expected mobile data growth, should we expect to see capex trending up from here as well? Thank you.
Regarding your first question regarding the subscriber growth, I think we have seen improvements in both postpaid and prepaid. So the subscriber growth is really reflect both our advancement in the prepaid and the postpaid market. As for the second question, the improvement in the EBG and HBG EBITDA reflect our cost management in the EBG business. While in the HBG business, the revenue increase is due to the cable modem growth. However, the cost side, we also see that there are some improvements in the cost side. So it's a reflection both in the revenue and the cost. But in the EBG business, mainly in the cost management. As for the third question, we are still working on trying to develop a very clear strategy how to take advantage of the Momo acquisition. Currently, we have a project team to work on those issues. And the CapEx of Momo, as far as at the moment, we don't see any major or big CapEx expenditure scheduled for this year. As for the mobile CapEx, even though, as you all aware of, we have launched our 21 meg service before all the other competitors, we think our current CapEx is adequate enough to support our mobile broadband initiatives, even though we lead in this technology. But we are very confident in our CapEx level. Hello?
Yes, thank you very much. I just would like to follow up a little bit on Momo. I understand that from the financial statements that you disclosed on Momo, it's generating an EBITDA margin of around 9%. How should we view this? Should it improve over time, or actually it would decline in the near term, or any guidance in terms of Momo EBITDA margin at all? And on the Momo CapEx, I understand that there's nothing major coming in, but how much is the regular CapEx that business is spending right now?
Momo's performance in the first half of this year is behind their schedule, according to our understanding. We will include their financials into our consolidated statements starting from July 13th. The less than satisfactory performance in the first half was probably due to some plasticizer event in Taiwan. I don't know whether you've heard about this, that some of the food was found to have plasticizer content.
Okay.
Chai, do you have any follow-up questions?
Yes, on Momo regular CapEx. So I understand that there's nothing major, but what's the normal run rate in terms of a CapEx, like a couple of $100 million a year?
Yeah, in the first half, we only know that in the first half, they incurred about $65 million in CapEx.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Neil Anderson of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions on the smartphone trends, please. Firstly, you, on slide 5, you show a number of new products you've launched in 2Q. Can you give us an outline of what the pipeline looks like for Q3 and whether you expect the smartphone percentage of phones sold to increase from the 52% or stay flat? Secondly, can you give any details on the mix, the smartphone mix of Android phones relative to other platforms? And if you think your smartphone sales will slow down ahead of the likely launch of a new iPhone in September. Thanks very much.
We have a number of smartphones in the pipeline. In July, we'll launch the Samsung Galaxy S2. It's a very popular smartphone, and it actually is the leading Android smartphone in Taiwan. And in August, we are going to launch the first 3D smartphone from HTC. So we will have an exclusive right to sell that phone for a month. And we are going to introduce a 4.3-inch smartphone manufactured by ZTE, and it's in September too. And it's a low-cost smartphone. We expect to sell a lot in the third quarter. And I think the third quarter we will see more Android tablets ready for sale, especially from Samsung. And currently, most of the Android tablets are not as competitive as iPads. But with the launch of Samsung products, we can see that major improvement in the Android tablet itself. As for the mixture of smartphone platforms, I think currently in our portfolio, Android take up maybe compared with Apple is like 2.5 to 1. So Android smartphones sell far more than Apple, and we are expecting a slowdown of iPhone 4 in the coming months due to the rumor that the Apple is going to launch in September.
Thank you very much. Could I just follow up on the tablet side? Have you seen already quite strong demand for tablets? I mean, there have been a few Android versions launched. Do you get a sense that customers are interested?
Well, currently for TWM, we sell more tablets than network. So the tablet has become the major seller in our portfolio. And almost because we currently don't get any right to sell iPad, so all the tablets are Android. And however, we are negotiating with the Apple to get the right to sell their iPad 2. So we are in the process of negotiating with Apple.
I see. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Danny Xu of Nomura Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the call. I've just got three quick questions. First is, in terms of the data as a percent of your mobile service revenue, do you think by the end of this year, data as percent of mobile service revenue can get close to somewhere like 25%? Do you think it is doable? Second question is, just to clarify on the Momo acquisition, since after mid-July, you will consolidate Momo's results. So basically right now, the full year results guidance that you gave out is only excluding Momo. And should we expect when you announce third quarter results, you give out a revised full year guidance, including Momo's results? And the final question is, on the slide that you mentioned about the regulatory update, NCC suggests domestic operators not to import Chinese telecom equipment. So is it just a suggestion or is the ruling that the operators have to follow? And if the operators have to follow that suggestion and not use Chinese telecom equipment, given that normally they are much more competitively priced, do you expect you have to spend more on CapEx if you start to use foreign telco equipment? Thank you.
Regarding your first question, whether our value-added service will reach 25%, I didn't do that calculation, but based on my intuition, it is not possible to reach 25%. But we expect our value-added service growth will be the highest among all the operators until the end of this year. We expect we will still have the highest growth rate. As for the Momo results,
Momo result, actually in our guidance, we did not include any numbers of Momo in our guidance. But in our third quarter results, we'll definitely include that in the numbers.
So we should expect a revised full-year guidance when the company announced third quarter results?
According to Taiwanese regulations, we don't need to revise the guidance, but we will tell you how much we have added to our third quarter results. I mean, we will separately tell you how much Momo made.
Okay.
And on your third question, whether the non-Chinese equipment will cost more, I'll turn this back to Cliff for reply.
Currently, we have used some Huawei equipment in our network for transmission purpose. And that part of the infrastructure is not very significant. And according to the instruction from NCC, we are not supposed to use Chinese-made equipment in the core networks. So we are planning to replace those equipment with non-Chinese manufacturer. But I think that will have little impact on our cost of operation.
Basically, the prices now offered by the non-Chinese manufacturers are very competitive. Let's put it this way.
So may I just ask a follow-up question? If the foreign telco equipment are competitively priced versus the Chinese telco equipment, then basically there is no point in using the Chinese telco equipment then?
You're right.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Ravi Sahavi of Citigroup Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the opportunity to ask some questions. I have four quick questions, if I may. The first one relates to tablets. I want to get a rough feel for the number of tablets on your network, and understanding that it's complicated by the fact that, you know, the Android tabs can be sold through the network, plus a bit of retail, and the iPads are not sold through telecom operators. And I'm guessing that you have a feel for the number of iPads on the network because of the number of micro SIMs and data packages sold. So if we were to add together just roughly the number of Android tabs that you've sold plus the number of, you know, micro SIMs with data packages, you know, I want to get a feel for what that number might be as a percent of total subs or an absolute number. My second question was just a quick clarification. Wanted to get the ZTE model that you're planning to launch for the low-cost smartphone, and just to clarify what the price of that would be at, you know, at retail before subsidy, and if you can look through the package, what that the price of that will be, you know, with the subsidy. Third question follows up on the color you gave around the split of the smartphones on your network. Now, just want to clarify, the 2.5 to 1 is the run rate of sales of Android to Apple, or is that the share in your embedded subscriber base of Android to Apple? Also wanted to get a handle on how much of that 15% is non-Android or Apple, so how much is, you know, Symbian legacy, you know, old Windows legacy, and, you know, maybe a little bit of BlackBerry. And the final question is, any progress being made? You know, of course, the reason for the MoMa acquisition, as I understand it, was, you know, to reframe that asset and start to differentiate by offering, you know, some interesting m-commerce propositions via smartphone apps. Wanted to get a handle on any progress you've made in that direction in terms of development of those apps or that process.
Regarding to your first question, how many tablets are in our network? And I think there are close to 20,000 tablets in our network. And so the iPad consists of maybe 40%. Of the total tablets in our network.
Thank you very much.
The second question is the second question is that
how would the GTE the cost?
The suggested retail price I think will be around 8,000 NT. With the subsidy, it can go to $0.
Understood. Thank you very much. And which model is that, by the way?
It's a manufactured by ZTE, but it's under the brand name of Taiwan Mobile.
Okay, got it.
And the third question is regarding it's a sales ratio. It's the most recent month sales ratio. Android 2.5 versus iPhone 1. It's not the install base.
Got it. And if you were to split the install base, how would that look?
Install base. Let me check the number.
Sure.
Oh, install base, then the Android have 47%.
Yep.
Apple has 26%. Windows Mobile have 9%, and Symbian has 16%. The rest is BlackBerry.
Got it. And guessing it's too early for Windows Mobile 7, so that 9% legacy Windows Mobile, right?
Yes.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Liu of JP Morgan Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So actually, I just have one big picture question. So it seems like if I look at the smartphone as a percentage of handsets sold, so the ratio actually declined a little bit in second quarter on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So that's why probably is the reason explaining that why your handset device sales revenue actually also dropped on a quarter-on-quarter basis. but also the handset equipment, the cost of sold was probably also dropped. So my question is just to wonder, you know, if we look into the second half this year, so what will be the trend of the smartphone sales volume, and also how much impact it will be on your EBITDA margin? Because it seems like your margin has already, you know, bottomed out in first quarter this year. Can we assume that the margin will start to climb up based on, you know, better economics of the smartphone you are going to sell in future? Thank you.
Well, I think the even though we sell a lot of smartphones, but as you know, the Apple iPhone tend to have the highest subsidy. So the EBITDA margin, to a certain extent, has something to do with how many iPhones we sell. So we expect in the third quarter, due to the scheduled launch of iPhone 5 or iPhone 4S, the sales of iPhone will drop. It's going to help our EBITDA, even though we may sell more smartphones in the third quarter compared with the second quarter. But the subsidy level may not be as high as we expected.
Okay. So hold on. So say if U.S. The iPhone 5 will be launched, say, in September. So normally, you know, Asia or other countries will be several months later than the U.S. launch. So if we can get the iPhone 5, say, by the end of this year in December time, probably the impact this year will be not that much, right? But majority, because at the beginning you probably will have supply issue, but so majority impact on iPhone 5 actually will be next year. So, but can we assume that, you know, if no, without iPhone 5, just based on the current, if the other smartphone pipelines, your margin trend should be relatively okay versus
yes.
That's
a reasonable assumption. Actually, we are not looking forward to the launch of iPhone 5 or iPhone 4S.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next, we have a follow-up question from Ravi Sarabi. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a quick follow-up on Momo. I was wondering if you had any color around your progress of evolving Momo toward, an m-commerce proposition, maybe around some apps that you're developing or something like that.
The m-commerce is definitely something we are working, trying to work with the Momo to come up with some good results. I'm not at a position to disclose what kind of things we are working on.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Gary Yu of Morgan Stanley Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I have two questions. The first one is, are you seeing any increase in competition in terms of the mobile data segment? We are hearing about some promotion from Chonghua on cutting some of the data plan pricing. The second question I have is, do you have any guidance on the Momo financials for this year, or do you have the numbers for what they have achieved in the first half of this year? Thank you.
For the first question, whether the competition in the mobile data was intensified, CHT has suffered a lot of complaints about their network regarding the mobile broadband service they offer. So, as far as I know, FET is not aggressively implementing the 21 mega service. Only TWM is providing 21 mega service. So I don't see that the mobile data mobile broadband sector, will, the competition will intensify in the second half of this year due to the lack of capacity by our competitors. So that's the answer to your first question.
As to the second question of guidance on Momo, we haven't had any concrete numbers for you for the full year guidance. But we will let you know their first half results in, well, on August 10th when we announce our July results, because we will include their financials starting from July 13th.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Ms. Lucy Liu of JP Morgan Hong Kong.
Hey, thank you. So I actually have another question. So seems like Taiwan telcos in general are quite welcoming the tablets on the network, although, you know, the traffic consumption of the tablets are very high. But the trend we are seeing from the other parts of the world are operators tend to, you know, prevent tablets adding on the network, but promoting more on the smartphone, which actually can generate better economics. But do you think, given that the network condition in Taiwan, we are not yet to the status that our network are facing constraints, so that at the current stage we are still welcoming tablets, or you think, you know, it will come later and then we probably will deal with this issue later? Thank you.
Well, based on our current data, the tablets consume less data than network. Actually, network consume more data bandwidth than tablets. So right now, the shift from network to tablet actually reduced our pressure on our network, and certainly. But however, the tablet certainly consume more bandwidth than smartphone. So of course, the strategy is to focus on smartphone to increase the mobile internet services revenue. However, we see big opportunity with the tablet, because the tablet is a very good device for the distribution of content. So if we look at the tablet, we need to look at it from non-connectivity service revenue, which we are working on trying to see how can we leverage the sales of tablet to increase our non-connectivity sales revenue.
I see.
In the meantime, from TWN's point of view, the current consumption of either smartphone or tablet has not caused any constraints in our capability in providing a good service to our subscribers. Maybe it caused trouble for CHD, but TWN currently has no problem with it.
Understand. So, I have a small follow-up. So, are you seeing higher ARPU from the tablets than smartphone? If so, how much higher now?
The tablet wouldn't contribute higher ARPU, because currently the only the package is all you can eat. So, it wouldn't contribute higher ARPU.
Okay. I see. Thanks.
Thank you. This question comes from Stephen Liu of Standard Chartered. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I have two questions, two simple questions. One is, how many Wi-Fi hotspots do you have, and how many new Wi-Fi hotspots will you build in the coming 2 years? And the second is, how many 2G and 3G base stations, and do you see any capacity bottleneck or constraint in the mobile, given the mobile business, the mobile data is traffic is surging? Yeah, thank you.
Well, we are building a few hundred Wi-Fi this year, because our strategy is a little different from FET and CHT. Currently, in the many places, we don't see how can Wi-Fi offload the network traffic. In the meantime, our focus is really to build a better 3.5G network instead of Wi-Fi. After all, we are Taiwan Mobile, not Taiwan Wi-Fi. Okay, so our major focus is really mobile network construction. However, due to many smartphones will have Wi-Fi capability, so we will build up our Wi-Fi location through the years, so it will reach a few thousand across the island, but we will only provide Wi-Fi services towards those areas where we think it can offload our traffic and also provide a better expenses to our bottom line. As for how many 2G and 3G base stations, currently we have over 7,000 2G and 3G base stations in our network. And as I said, we don't have a problem with the current traffic. And as a matter of fact, we think we have currently has the best mobile broadband network in Taiwan.
Stephen, you have any follow-up questions?
It's good. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have a question from Rafi Zahafi. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to ask a follow-up question. Just want to get a handle on, if possible, the average level of megabits of data usage a month for, you know, an iPhone user and an Android phone user, and also for an iPad user and an Android tab user. And finally, if we could benchmark against, you know, the average monthly data usage of a dongle user, that'd be really helpful, if possible.
Let me check. Okay, for iPhone user, the average is 1.2G per month. And for Android, is 800 meg per month. For Windows, is 625. And for Symbian, is 160. For netbook, for dongles, let me check. Okay. For dongle, it's roughly 5G per month.
That's great, and that's fantastic color. Any feel for Android tabs versus iPads?
I think in general, based on the information we have, in general, the iPad tends to have 20 to 25% more consumption than Android tablets.
Got it. And in terms of absolute usage, how does your average tablet compare with your average, you know, smartphone? Do you have a feel for what the average absolute amount of data usage is on the tablets?
It's like five times the dongle user consume five times more than smartphone users.
And what do you think a tablet user is?
Tablet user consume maybe 2.5 times than smartphone users.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful indeed.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Next, we have a follow-up question from Mr. Che Panja of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just one final follow-up question. Regarding the device sales revenue, basically we should not be expecting a reversion toward 1.5 or 1.6 billion again, at least in the third quarter. Is that correct?
$1.5 and $1.6 million. I think the sales of devices. My projection is that the second half will be higher than the first half. In the first half is 2.7 billion NT, and I think second half definitely will be higher than 2.7. But as far as how much higher, I don't have a feeling at the moment.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. This question comes from Tan Do of GIC Singapore. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much for the opportunity to ask a question. Just following on from Rafi's question on the differences in the data usage between smartphones and iPads and tablets, your ideas in the medium term on how to monetize those differences in usage, you think the day is close where we will be able to see differences in ARPUs between, I don't know, iPhone users versus Android users versus iPad users, or you think largely the data usage is going to be independent of the device and we're still going to be seeing sort of flat rate usage plans?
Well, this is a tough question, and to be honest, I don't have a good answer for it. The based on the information that I have gathered, the iPhone or iPad users tend to be more data savvy, tend to subscribe more, potentially subscribe more value-added services. This may be due to the fact that the iPhone and iPad are more expensive. Maybe not have something to do with because they use the device. So I don't have a good answer for your question.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is the number one key for questions. Next, we have a follow-up question from Stephen Liu of Standard Chartered. Please go ahead. Hi, Stephen, please go ahead. Excuse me, Stephen, you have any questions?
I'm sorry, I muted. Okay. Our final question is regarding your data revenue, accounting for only 20% of total mobile service revenue. I think it's quite low percentage compared with like Japan, Korea, and Hong Kong. Can you give me some color on why was the major reason for the low data usage and the low revenue contribution from data? Thanks.
Well, this is a phenomenon not unique to Taiwan Mobile. It's across the industry in Taiwan.
Yeah.
If you look at the DHT, and if you look at the FPT, as a matter of fact, our percentage of data revenue is the highest among all the players. Mm. And I think I don't have a good answer because we try to increase the value-added service revenue, but maybe has something to do with quality keypad handset has never been popular in Taiwan. Mm. And so the short message service and many other services are not so popular in Taiwan. Because if you look at China, Japan, those countries which have high value-added services or high data service revenue, in general, they tend to use the QWERTY or use the handset to send a lot of information. Mm. But this phenomenon is not popular in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how could you do see any make any effort to solve this problem? What's your your management view on how to reach the data usage monetize. I think free penetration is quite high. Just the data usage, just the monetization, not enough, I think. Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, when we analyze our information, it's very interesting that for our smartphone users, they tend to use short message more.
Mm.
Because I guess in the past, the feature phone is not very good for, in Taiwan, feature phone is not very friendly for Chinese typing. But once they have smartphone, it's like iPhone, you can use the pen-based input. Then certainly we see uptake of short message service.
Mm.
So I think smartphone will change the behavior because it's more user friendly and it has more features. So this is the reason why in Taiwan the data service has been like 12% or 30% for a long time. But once you have this smartphone, then suddenly the data service become very, very popular now. So I just hope this situation will continue and people will use smartphone to purchase more services and to do more things.
Oh, great, thanks. Thanks, I'm good. Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is the number one key for questions.
Well, if there's no further, there are no further questions.
Thank you.
Yes,
Cliff, we have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes the conference.